To the Build Your Empire podcast. Today we are joined by Travis Rhodes, all the way in Montana. Is that right? Montana,
yep.
USA.
Yep. All the way.
We are a world apart. I think, like you said, it's 6 p.m. for you, 10 a.m. for me. I'm in the future, so I get to have a bit of a forecast of what your day is going to look like. But, you know, today I really wanted to get Travis on to share a little bit of his story, you know, and some of the tests that have been thrown his way. So coming from a motocross background, Travis has a pretty gnarly story to share with us. So, Travis, let's just kick straight into it and share with us just a little bit about, you know, what life looked like for you before X happened. We're not going to tell them what X is just yet, but, you know, what did life look like for you? I know you're a business owner.
Yeah. I run kind of four different businesses. Three are kind of combined into one and under my Montartica moniker, I guess. What those are is I do production, live event production. I bring in like flying comedians from Hollywood, rock shows, different things. And I do them all over Montana out here. We're kind of pretty rural where we're at. So everything that I've ever done has been really, let's find an old theater and I'll makeshift it into a comedy show or a venue and do those. I have a podcast on Montartica.com. And then, as you guys can see the hat here, we also run clothing too. And, up until just that incident, I was, had just hired my first hire. I was had him printing a whole lot of clothes for us. We were revamping the website, getting everything ready to go and whatnot. And, actually we were just about to start doing some more promotions. COVID kind of killed the promotions for quite a while. And so, I mean, that's something I've been doing, since 2009. I've been doing different promotions and kind of started those just out of an idea. A buddy of mine, I was in Las Vegas and he called me while I'm in Vegas I was down there for a pool tournament. And he calls me, we were both wrestling coaches. And he says, what do you think about putting on some cage fights? I went, yeah, let's do it. You know, so yeah. The next 5 days in Vegas, I sat in my motel room and planned out this cage fight. And we ended up 2 years in a row, putting more people in the what they call it, the pavilion here, then went through the gates of our county fair. And that was the start of my promotion business, I guess. And then he moved on to the guards, and I went on and I became some friends with some comedians. And I'm a big fan of comedy, stand-up comedy. As I think it's one of the most fun things to go out and do. So I thought, you know what,
I'm a bit of a comedian every now and then.
Yeah, well, that's kind of one of my goals is someday I'm going to get on stage with them. I've got up and kind of hosted stuff a little bit, but never actually went up and did time, you know, and someday I want to go find an open mic in the middle of someplace that nobody knows me and try it a few times, I guess, but
yeah. Why not?
And then, I've done a lot of things. I've been involved with, I've ran some pretty big rock shows and stuff through here. And then I worked for this, big company called Rock in the Rivers. It's a big 3-day rock festival that I'd book all their booze contracts and sponsorship contracts and design the layout of the ground and whatnot, like, you know, like big tents, Camel cigarettes goes here, this goes here, that kind of thing. Yeah. And then, I took a break from that for a while to kind of focus on my own stuff and, was really getting my own stuff going, thought I really had a plan in the bag. And then said,
then X happened. So what, run us through this day. You had a massive, massive accident. What did the day look like? Were you just out with the boys, you know?
I had worked two nights in a row before that. And then I wanted to take my son skiing is what it was. And, go up to go skiing. It's like a 2.5 hour drive from where I live here up to the mountain. And, we drove up, I was having a great day. I guess I should say the worst part about it is that, before this happened, I was in a pretty good workout challenge, and I was actually feeling like I was in some of the best shape of my life, you know, life, but as an almost 40-year-old guy, I guess. So yeah. I was feeling really good. I was finally getting things clicking, and we get up, it's last run of the day, we're up skiing, having a great time, hit the jump and stuff all over. Last run of the day, I go to ski down, and my kid had been videoing me. We were catching some footage for our website because we were about to re-release our website with all new winter clothes that we had out. I actually sponsored a chairlift. So we have an actual Montartica chairlift that's on the mountain. So we did like some photo shoot stuff up there and took some pictures, and he was videoing and whatnot. And I'd come down, it's literally the last run of the day, and there's this it's a little snow fence jump. Actually, I've hit it probably hundreds of times over the last 30 years. And it looked like a snowboarder had maybe plowed over the lip of it. So the lip was all chewed up. And I thought, you know, I'll just bounce over it, hit it like half speed. And I did. And I landed. It was like 36 degrees Fahrenheit. I don't know if you guys are Celsius over there or whatever. Anybody?
Yeah, we're Celsius.
Yeah. So the snow was melting a little bit. It was a little bit sticky where I landed. It kicked me up. I went to just forward somersault out of it, and my ski tip caught, and it literally ground pounded me like a lawn dart right to the middle of my fucking head right here. So I had some other guys up there that were skiing with that day, and I hear them all. Oh, and right away I felt like lightning through my left side of my body. I mean, it's just like fire. And I've crashed a lot which ends up being, by the time I get done with all of it, my 16th broken bone over my life. So anyway,
you're doing well.
Yeah, exactly. So I landed right on literally the crown of my head. I was wearing a helmet and everything, but it just compressed me. Where I'd hit was soft. And when it kicked me far enough out where I landed right on the groomer, which is the harder pack stuff. And it was the first day that ski resort was open. So they didn't have the greatest snow. And I landed on something hard enough that I actually ended up breaking my C6 and had a floating bone right on my spinal column and didn't know it at the time. I thought I'd probably pinched a nerve because I've had some pretty bad back issues from motocross and all my years of, I've rode like 20 some years of freestyle motocross before this. And I thought for sure that I just pinched a nerve. So I get up and I go to reach down and put my skis on. And I couldn't get my own skis on. And luckily there was this guy there or a couple of guys from the college up there. And they're like, well, here, let's help put them on. And they're like, you sure you don't want to wait for the ski patrol? And I go, well, as we were riding the lift up, we see another guy that had just knocked himself out cold underneath the ski lift. So they were attending to him. And I'm like, no, I'll be good. I'll ski down to the, I looked at my kid and my kid actually videoed the whole crash. Didn't even flinch. Had it in slow-mo and everything. And apparently he doesn't care about his dad that much or something. I don't know. Anyway, I put my skis on, ski down to the mountain, and I got to the car and I'm like, this is pretty bad. The guy at the back of there hands me a beer.
Yeah.
And he goes, here, you might need this. I go, yeah, I do. And I put it right on my neck to ice my neck because I could feel it swelling already. Yeah, I didn't think it was. And so anyway, I got in the car and my son, he plays guitar in the pep band here for the high school. Mm-hmm. And I had to drive him back. He had to make the bus to go to divisional basketball to go play pep band. So I just drove home and I got about halfway home and I'm going like, this is really hurting pretty bad. I kind of moonlight as a bartender sometimes at this local bar, a high volume, single bartender bar type thing. And I was supposed to work that night and I called my boss and she goes, well, why don't you go to the hospital and get checked out first? And I said, well, I just want to let you know that I don't know if I'm going to be that functional. And so I ended up going in and after a CT scan later, I found out I broke my C6 and was heading off to surgery in Billings, which is 200 miles from here also.
Oh my goodness.
That's pretty bad numbness in this hand originally. And luckily now I'm starting to heal up, but that was pretty good.
That's so crazy. And you know, it's probably, you were full of adrenaline, I would imagine, in that moment.
For sure. Yeah.
Got you through, but you know, adrenaline wears off. So you would have woken up in the hospital at some point, you know, and everything. I mean, this happens to me when I can't make a meeting, right? I think, oh my God, what am I going to do? You know, how am I going to do this? But you're literally laying in a hospital bed with a broken neck. Like what things that was going through your mind?
Well, the anxiety at first, like I said, I thought that I was fine. I thought I felt like a pinched nerve that I've had before because I've had some pretty bad neck issues just from, you know, the nature of freestyle motocross. You come up short or you go long, and I've had a lot of whiplash over the years and things. And I thought for sure that that's what was going on. And then when they told me that I broke it, the doctor was in there and she goes, like within 30 seconds, she goes, well, you're going to have to decide whether we're going to fly you out or what you want to do. And I'm like, well, can I at least talk to my family here, like in private, decide what the heck I'm going to do. And I said, I'd really like to talk to the actual doctor or a surgeon, you know, and find out what this entails. Yeah. Am I going to walk? Could I not wake up from surgery? You know, you never know when they say broken neck. I mean, that's the fear of all of us. You know, I've broke, like I said, lots of bones, but that's the first time I've broke my neck, I guess, that I know of.
The last, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's sad. Like I said, the sad thing is I've literally jumped my motorcycle over 200 feet over things. And this was literally the most baby little jump, the equivalent of me stepping off a curb, and it just went wrong, completely wrong.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm scared. I finally get the doctor on the phone and I said, well, what are my options? You know, I mean, because of how bad my back was before, I've researched a lot of things, you know, in the stem cell and different blood spinning things and things that could help me rejuvenate my back the way it was. Yeah. Cause like I said, I'm 39 now, which I mean, I'm still really active. I mean, I skateboard, I ski, ride motorcycles, all that fun stuff, you know? And, I really want to know, I like, he says, I got to get my neck fused. And I'm thinking everybody I've seen fuse their neck, you know, is that I know is not moving their head. And I'm thinking, am I going to be able to be active?
I think the studs, you know, with the
I had a babysitter in high school, in like grade school, that had that. And I was terrified of him after that happened. So that's in my head. I'm going, oh man, I've got a young daughter that's like 5. And I'm thinking, oh, I hope I don't have to get this halo. It's going to scare her so bad. And anyway, he goes through it. My doctor, my neurosurgeon, was just phenomenal. He kind of eased all my fears. And he goes, well, the problem is, he goes, if you don't get it fused, you do have a bone floating right on your spinal cord. And if it moves forward, then we got more problems. But if you come up and get it fused, he goes, you're more than likely, he said, by next winter, you'll be skiing again, if everything goes right.
Yeah.
But so then I asked him, I said, well, do I have to fly down there? That's what the doctor here is recommending. And he goes, no, he goes, you drove 2.5 hours to get to the hospital, didn't you? I go, yeah. He goes, well, then drive down here the next day, 200 more miles to get to Billings. And of course, then after, by the time I got home and waited overnight, and the adrenaline had worn off, and then it starts, like I said, everything starts going through my head. What if I move wrong in my sleep? What if I, you know, what's going on? I mean, I'm literally the breadwinner of the house. I run all these businesses, and I got an employee right now that is literally just training. He's only in here a month and a half with me so far. And like, I'm kind of starting to panic a little bit, you know, and then at the same sense thinking, if I can't heal through this, what's my life going to look like from there? Because I've always been so active, you know, and like, I might go insane if I can't get out of the house and do things.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I feel you on that one. Wow.
Yeah. And, yeah. And the funny thing is I probably jinxed myself. I was, like I said, I'd been doing this training or whatever. And I, told my son riding up the ski lift, I go, man, this is the first time in quite a few years I haven't been tired on the last run of the day. And, yeah.
Whoops. You got to touch wood, right? You got to touch wood right after you say that.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
So in this moment, obviously, like I said, you know, you wake up and you've got a broken neck, and you've got all the worries that everyone would have of, well, what next? You know, what does this look like? What did you have to dig into to get through something like that?
Well, first off, as you're laying in the hospital bed and then they fix me up, and I'm thinking, I'll be all right to sit there with my laptop and work up from my recliner, you know, and the crazy thing is, so here's another thing that I also my issue normally hasn't been getting the motivation to do something. It's been narrowing it down to which thing, because I've always got so many things spinning in my head at one time. And I also run a cell phone repair business for when I'm not promoting things and whatnot. And in my head, I'm thinking, well, this is great. I've been, that week of cell phone repair had went as shitty as it could have ever went. I mean, like, I had people stiff me on phones, things broke that shouldn't have broke. And I just went, perfect. This is going to be the perfect time. I'm going to be laid up. I can't work on the phones. I'll be able to get the website finished from my computer, you know, everything else. And then by the time I got through the surgery, and which I'm in the hospital for a day and a half or whatever, and then come home, and I didn't realize how difficult it was. I mean, I guess my own head, I was overly optimistic. I didn't realize how difficult it was going to be to try and sleep at night, or even function at all during the day. You know, like, I mean, the healing part was the scary part. And then if you're taking enough pain meds to cure the pain, then you're sedated so hard that you can't hardly decide what you're doing right.
Exactly.
But I knew, I'd had this big plan. I wanted to re-up the website, and I had all these, worst part about it is we have literally stacks and stacks. If you see behind me here, there's stacks and stacks of clothes that we had just finished printing that were all, we had to just mock them up and finish putting them on the website. And then we're ready to release everything for winter.
Yeah.
And so I went, well, I'm going to try and figure this out from my chair, you know? And well, it turned out that the, I, like I said, I was a little overly optimistic at first at how long I could actually stare at my computer like this, because wearing a neck brace at first, I was getting so sore, I could only work at a little bit of time. So then I'd started doing a little bit of graphic design for some other people, just doing like, I could quickly bang out a logo and say, here's this to get some money flowing, you know, instead of worrying about getting my website back up and then everything else. But I knew as the weeks went on, I guess the bigger thing for me was I was more optimistic about the cell phone, of being able to cut more of that out. Because that was my plan all along anyway. And the thing with the cell phone, I'm the only cell phone repair guy within like 100 miles or 70 miles, actually, but the only one that will actually do micro solder. And I started it just kind of, I used to work in radio and I did it as a side job, but now it's kind of grown into its own animal, and it's tough to refuse the money to start with, but it's also, unless it's something new that I'm working on, it, I kind of lose the passion for it. I mean, like you can fix screens over and over, but it's real monotonous. It's not filling a theater full of people and putting on a big show or, you know, that kind of thing. So I thought I'm going to put my focus all on the end of Montarctica stuff and started getting everything going again. And then literally it just got to the point that 3 months out of work, you need more money. So I did have to start taking some more cell phones back on and whatnot. And right now like I said, I literally had the website, everything ready to go, fully winter branded. I mean, I literally had a skier on the top logo. So now I'm in the process of completely revamping it again. And we're going to switch over to summer stuff and pack some of this stuff up for next year.
So look, you had to dig deep in that moment of finding, I mean, would you say it was the courage to not give up? Because like I mentioned to you before we hit record, you know, there's a hell of a lot of people out there, you know, obviously conversations for me are always about business, you know, and so many people quit, you know.
And it would have been easy.
It would have been easy for you to quit.
Very, very easy to just say I'm done with all that stuff and, you know, try to find something else. But I'm not going to be happy for myself working for somebody else. For one, I mean, whether the struggle or the successes, I enjoy the adrenaline rush of both ends of it. And then I'm not good at just, doing the regular 9 to 5, you know. I mean, there's a lot of nights I'm up till 2 a.m. working on things, or I have other ideas they're spinning off. And if I'm sitting at somebody else's job, like I was at the radio station, I was good at it. I mean, I did radio sales and whatnot, but I'm daydreaming on what else.
You're limited.
So limited. And I've always, you know, kind of found a way to work my way back. Like I said, this ended up being my 16th broken bone. I broke my neck, and I guess I didn't say that, I also broke 2 ribs in the crash too, the way I folded up.
Until
I got down to the surgeon. So I couldn't move my head. I couldn't bend over. It was just miserable.
Oh my gosh.
And honestly,
do you think that this became a blessing for you?
And honestly, in a way, yeah, because it turned my focus back into something else. And in another way that it's became a blessing also is that for years, which rest in peace, Alex Harville, he's the former world record holder of long distance jumping motorcycles. I had broken a wrist not long before I'd met him, and we were out doing this filming event for On the Pipe 7. And I told him that, I was having the worst time of getting off the pain pills at that time. And he goes, well, here, try to take this Kratom. So I started taking Kratom then as a painkiller for my neck and the wrist and everything I was dealing with over all these injuries I've built up. Well, after I got injured with this, I got to the point that I'm working and I was still feeling such of a fog. And, you know, and like I said, before I broke my neck, I was finally getting in really good shape and was ready to everything. So here, like a week and a half ago, I decided I'm cutting every bit of the pain meds, the Kratom, everything cold turkey. So I've been, as far as a battle, that's been a battle also over for a couple of weeks and people don't know that, you know, like I just drove my grandma to the doctor yesterday and she said, I was telling her how it, you know, some of the withdrawals felt. And she goes, oh, honey, I went through that really bad. You know, people look at and try to say, here's an addict, there's an addict if they think, but you don't even know. There's more grandmas and things they shovel pain pills at, you know, that especially it's notorious in freestyle motocross, you know, like I've lost friends to it. And I always knew like I wasn't going to get hooked to them. And that's why, like I said, I got on the Kratom and Alex was the one that goes, here, try this. And then, but it turns out you can withdraw from that too. I mean, it becomes a curse also. And so I've kicked them all at the same time thinking, you know what, if you're going to be strong and if there's any point to be strong. You've already went through a damn broken neck. You might as well just get on with it now, you know. And so, Kudamala, if that was hard, this is hard, and keep moving.
It really is that ripple effect, you know. And I don't think it matters what it is in life. It's if you are grasping for something to take you out of your reality, whether or not that's drugs, sex, you know, there's a million different things that people find that they get addicted to. It's having that courage, like you said, to be like, you know what? No, like I have to get rid of it. And you know, this is something really close to my heart. You know, I went through addiction as well. And, you know, there was that moment where I just went, like, we've got to be done with this, because there's only two ways this is going to go. One of them is you're going to stay addicted, and the other one is you're going to die. You know,
I call my doctor, and he says, well, he goes, you're probably due for another refill, right? You know what? I with one of them, I said, I prefer not. And I go, the other one, just give me, if you can give me half of them, I'll taper off the best I can. Then I'm quitting cold turkey, and I'm just going to go from there. Mm-hmm. And then, as I started tapering that down, at the same time, I decided, you know what, if I'm going to withdraw from one, I don't want to try and quit Kratom a month down the road later. And I go, we're going to go cold turkey on all of it. And it's been rough. I'm not going to lie. There was a good 4 or 5 days of hardly any sleep, restless legs, sweating. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, just absolutely miserable, feeling like you got the flu. And but the doctors don't tell you any bit of that. Like, I mean, they would gladly shovel some more pills my way if I told them my neck hurt. And that's the scary thing to me, you know, is I knew that I couldn't be myself again, or, you know, and be as sharp as I should be if I didn't decide to cut it all out. And I've got a lot of things I still want to accomplish. So
it's so powerful. And, you know, like I said, it doesn't matter what it is. We all have addictions, you know. Coffee is a big one. I don't drink coffee. I never have, but I see a lot of people and I'm like, man, this stuff is like crack. Like, they need it in the morning. They need it in the, you know, at lunchtime. Yep. And you know, it's just those things that we think that we need, and it is all a mindset thing. And you know, I think you going through what you did, it was a massive sign of courage and mindset and strength that you were able not only to get over this, but to be able to get over it and get over the addiction that was given to you.
A big part was, you know, like I said, my son was up there with me and filmed it, and he's been, you know, like, he skateboards and stuff with me, but he's one of those, like, he'll totally analyze everything before he, like, he's got to know that he's going to land it before he tries it. And I've always been the opposite. I'm like, hit it, wing it just from there. And, and for me to be able to, you know, break my neck, get back up and ski off the mountain and still drive him home, I, in the same sense, want to show him, listen, like, you know, life isn't always sunshine and roses, but you still got to keep moving. You could curl up in a ball or end up under a streetlight somewhere, but that's not what I want to instill in my kids either. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So for the people that are listening to this and not watching, cause this will be on YouTube. Read us what this flag says behind you. Cause I think that is freaking awesome.
Yeah. It says, create something today, even if it sucks. And,
I love that.
My fiance got that for me here quite a few years ago while we were doing the podcast in here. This is our podcast studio too. Like I said, it's doubled as clothing stuff over there right now. I haven't done a podcast in quite a while since I broke my neck and was laid up for a while. We were going to completely revamp the website and do some different things, but, we started the podcast on a whim. This is a music studio in here too. We've wrote quite a bit of music and produced some stuff. And with some friends, we were in here one night and none of us were feeling that creative. This is all the way back in, I think, 2015 or 2017, I guess. And I said, you guys ever asked one of those? Hell yeah, let's do it right now. So we got the recording equipment out and moved it from the instruments and went over and did our first podcast. And now we've done, I think we're close to 60 episodes or so on there. And I've done everything from just us sitting in the studio, having some beers and playing music and talking about whatever comes up, anything from, you know, I'd attribute kind of the way that like Joe Rogan's podcast is, depends on the guest type of thing, you know, of what you're going to talk about. I've had even like international arms dealer David Packhouse on there. He's the guy that they wrote the movie War Dogs about.
Okay, cool.
So the Jonah Hill movie. Yeah, he's the one that is it like 19-year-old guy was found a way to sell arms to the foreign armies and whatnot. Anyway, I've had him on different things like that. You know, it's kind of a variety show. And so is definitely a motto of mine. I mean, like, even if it's songwriting or anything, not everyone's going to be a hit. Like, you just got to keep plugging along. You're going to make graphic designer. You're going to have, like, say, if you're designing clothing, you're going to have plenty stacks of ones that didn't sell, you know, but hopefully you make up for that in the five that did. Or, you know, I mean, like, when I'm doing graphic design, I'll send a logo to somebody. I'll usually give them four or five different logos to kind of get where their mind is, you know, because what I think's good might not be in somebody else's mind either.
Yeah.
And so that kind of came with us making music. And then actually we've got these big skate parks around Montana that Jeff Ament, bassist of Pearl Jam, has donated us. So that, in that same sense, I'd message him one night, he's having some trouble writing some songs. I go, man, I'm in the middle of Montana. He's a Montana boy too. That's how we know. I mean, yeah. I said, you're one of the best songwriters ever to live on the planet. I said, do you happen to have any tips for a little guy like me? He sends me back this big book of things. And he said, at the bottom of it, and I'll never forget it, he goes, it's all about flexing that muscle, because the more you do it, the better you're going to get. Wow. And he goes, but don't think everyone I've wrote is a hit. He goes, I've got hundreds of songs that nobody else other than me has heard. And I call those all my dirty little secrets. And to hear that from a guy like that, that's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I went, that's, you know, makes me feel a little better when I write some stupid, silly song and think, man, I don't want to even let my kids hear that, you know, whatever. But then the next day you might wake up and just because you've practiced that, it's going back to work. You know, it's,
yeah.
Like, is that book, The War of Art? It's more of, if you treat it as a profession, it'll become a profession type thing.
I love that. I love it. And there's so many valuable things that you've touched on today, you know, like the fact that you've just got to get up and keep going because your kids are watching. You know, as parents, you know, we tell our kids what we want them to become. We don't show them. You know, I know that was something that I really prided myself on this journey is, you know, I wanted to show them what determined and motivated and successful looked like rather than just expecting them to become it. And, you know, when you can teach your kids how to fend for themselves when it comes to business, they're unstoppable. Yeah. You know, you've given them a gift that no one can take away from them. So,
well, it literally is, after breaking my neck, and like I said, taking 3 months off of not my regular incomes coming in. Mm-hmm. And then all at the same time, which I've always been a pretty big crypto investor, and all at the same time, crypto's taken a dive like crazy too. Yeah. And it's been almost like starting over here in the last few weeks. And then on top of it, like I said, decide to cut out all the pain pills and everything else and just like, all right, let's go. We've done this before. Let's paddle up and do it again. So
I love it.
Just the daily grind and just got to keep grinding. I guess there's definitely days I get, you know, where your mental state's different, you know, where some days you wake up feeling a lot more pain or even feeling a little more depressed and stuff, but you got to try and keep moving one way or another. And setting small goals has helped me that way of, you know, like, hey, I got this job to finish today. Let's get it done. And then also, I mean, I keep a lot of my big goals to myself. Some of them I know, like if they're scary enough for me, I'll tell people because then I feel like I'm obligated to do it. But other ones, there's some that are so out of this world until I'm closer to them that they're ones that I go, I'll keep those closer to my heart, you know, and then go from there. And that's actually a lot of my shows have been like that. I mean, I've had just random things pop up. I've had, they're like nationally touring band Nonpoint. We had them for a backyard concert here one time, and that all just came from me and my buddy sitting at breakfast discussing it. And suddenly I said, well, I can get a hold of the drummer, and I know he collects vinyl records. I go, let's see if he wants to drive over and look at them. And they were on tour coming a routing deal, and I shot him an offer, and luckily they took it. And it was just, you know, that was one of those just like, let's see if it'll happen. And
yeah, and that's sometimes all it takes, you know, is the courage to ask the question. You know, I've had similar to you, you know, some really amazing, you know, offers and situations put in front of me, and it was just because I asked. You know, I asked the question, hey, do you want to? Or hey, would you mind? You know, we've recently just done a big event over here, a luxury event. And, you know, one of the speakers who is an amazing mentor, an amazing woman, you know, she's one of Tony Robbins' facilitators. You know, I believe Tony Robbins is her son's godfather. either.
Oh, really?
Wow. You know, so
and I had Tony Robbins' books on, like, the ones on tape, even from way back.
Wow. Like, wow.
The actual cassette, the whole set from.
But now you're showing your age, Travis.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that, exactly. No, it really is that whole ask thing. And I mean, once you've realized the worst that they can say is no, it's not like they're going to take your birthday away. I mean, the other day, my cousin was telling me, he's like, man, you network like crazy. How the hell do you meet all these people? I said, I just like say hi. I mean, meet them, you know, start from there, go. I mean, you have common interests. Everybody's human. So, I mean, and you're never out of your league until until somebody, if they want to tell you you're out of your league, you can work your way into it if you need to. Yeah. And it's just, like I said, it's just like, let's take a swing. And if the worst that could happen is no. And I grew up, even as a little kid, my first dirt bike that I bought, my first Honda 80 that I bought, my dad had told me, my older brother had one. He is riding like crazy and I wanted one so bad. And so my dad got me literally a moped, found this moped for me. And I'm like, this is not cutting it. I got to jump things. And so I want this dirt bike. And he goes, well, if you're going to get it, you're going to earn it. So I started, there's these things that they used to send to us when we were kids. You go door to door, like selling Christmas cards and like little trinkets and gifts and stuff. I went up and down my street everywhere and earned my first, I think it was $800,000, whatever I had to buy the motorcycle, all on just knocking doors and having a lot of little old ladies tell me, nope, I don't want any, or not even answer the door, you know. And but you eventually learn sales by trying, you know. And then
do you believe with sales, and this is a little bit, you know, a little bit far left, but do you believe with sales that the person that wins is the one that talks to the most?
Depends. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess sometimes, but I believe that the person that wins in sales is the one that can make them your ally or your friend the most, honestly. So like some of my biggest sales, like even when I was working radio sales or even like with Rock in the Rivers, you become friends with some of the biggest people. Like, I mean, of even the biggest company, you got to get to the person that makes the decisions first.
Mm.
So when you find that out, but if that takes befriending the secretary so that she's nice enough to give you his number, I mean, you got to go from there. And then once you get to that point, there's a lot of it is talking, but a lot of it's listening too. Yeah. And a lot of it's to come back and go like, hey, how did little Johnny's baseball game go last week? And they go, oh man, you should have seen it. And then once you get them talking, then, you know, like then and it's not like that. Then it doesn't feel like you're a scummy salesman to them. And that's really not what I'm in it for. That's what it was with radio. Once it felt like I was selling them different packages that I didn't feel like were that beneficial to them because my company was pushing them on me. That's when I was like, all right, I got to find a way out of this because I can't be genuine and go sell, say, hey, you're going to buy this advertising. Yet I know it's not even going to drive a single person through your door. That's just not me. And
yeah, well, they say you need to be interested, not interesting. And I heard that, I was like, oh, that's game changer. You know, we need to spend the time to listen to what people's problems are and listen to what it is that they need. And rather than just trying to sell them something, you know, if you don't have something that's going to help them, don't bother. Yeah. You know, but I love that. I absolutely love it. Thank you so much for dropping into this podcast.
Thanks for having me.
It's definitely, I think, you know, there's a lot of messages that have come out of this, and, you know, it's courage, it's determination, it's staying focused, staying in your lane, but also, you know, taking what a lot of people would have turned into a victim mentality and a victim mindset, you took it and you used it, you know, and turned it into power, which I think is really, really, really cool. Oh, yeah. So,
well, even between my fiance and my mom, both those two were my baby's like, hey, take it easy, you know, sit down, dude. I'm like, listen, I ain't got time for that. I gotta get this. We're gonna get back into it. We're gonna figure this out. But yeah,
I love that. I love it. Well, maybe we need to do another podcast in maybe a year or two and see where you're at and see what you've conquered. Thank you so much for joining us, Travis. Yeah. I absolutely appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. It's been fun.